Happy Friday, April 17th, 2026, and welcome back to KoiCast. It is Haiku Poetry Day, which feels right because the AI news cycle lately is basically chaos in syllables. I'm Hunter.
And I'm Riley. Also, yes, this episode was assembled by a little robot stage crew of AI tools behind the curtain, so if a sentence suddenly has main character energy and then swerves into the ditch, we respect the art and keep moving.
Fully machine-built, human-guided, lightly supervised like a very talented intern with access to too many tabs.
Too many tabs is so real. All right, Hunt, big story. Microsoft dropped MAI Transcribe 1, MAI Voice 1, and MAI Image 2 straight into Foundry. That is transcription, voice, and image gen all tucked into the same enterprise stack. Is this actually simplification, or is this just a prettier form of lock-in with better fonts?
Honestly, both. It is real simplification. If your team already lives in Microsoft land, this is kind of a dream. You can do call transcription, synthetic voice, and image generation without duct taping five vendors together with webhooks and prayer. That matters.
Fewer weird handoffs.
Exactly. Fewer handoffs, fewer billing relationships, fewer compliance reviews, fewer places where assets go to die in somebody's downloads folder. But the trade-off is obvious. The deeper your creative workflow gets inside one cloud, the harder it is to leave when pricing changes, policy changes, or quality stalls out.
So it's like moving into a gorgeous apartment and then realizing the landlord also owns your fridge, your couch, your doorbell, and maybe your nervous system.
That is disturbingly accurate, yeah. And I think what people mean when they say enterprise ready is not magic. They mostly mean boring grown-up stuff. Governance, permissions, monitoring, procurement not having a panic attack, security teams not emailing all caps at midnight.
Wait, say that again, because X loves to say enterprise ready like it's some sacred incantation.
Right. In practice, it means the tool can survive contact with legal, IT, and finance. It means the model is not just good in a demo. It means your ops team can actually plug it into real workflows like sales calls, ad production, customer support summaries, internal media libraries, all that.
And ideally not create six new approval meetings.
Ideally. Though, to be fair, AI has absolutely become a new species of meeting generator in some companies.
Oh my gosh, yes. Teams are like, wow, we shipped faster. And then suddenly there's an AI brand council, an AI ethics sync, an AI review layer, an AI prompt committee. Babe, you recreated traffic.
That's why the real leverage is not just adding models. It's redesigning the path the work takes. If Microsoft gives you transcription, voice, and images in one stack, cool. But the win only happens if that lets you go from raw customer call to summarized insight to script draft to voice prototype to visual concept with less friction and clear human checkpoints.
Mm-hmm. Date the model, marry the workflow.
There it is.
Right. But I do want to push on the open versus closed thing because we were just talking about this on recent episodes. If you go all in on Foundry, are you gaining speed now and paying rent forever?
Potentially, yes. Closed stacks win on convenience. Open stacks win on control and portability. If you're a pro AI but not delusional company, I think the smart move is mixed architecture. Use the polished cloud stuff where it creates immediate leverage, but keep your workflow layer modular so you can swap models later.
Translation, don't build your whole house on one vendor's mood swings.
Exactly. Keep the business logic outside the model as much as possible. Prompts, approvals, routing, asset naming, review states, rights metadata, all of that should not be trapped inside one black box.
Okay, let's pivot to audio because this one is juicy. Audio Omni is getting talked about like the future is no longer just text-to-speech. It's understand audio, generate audio, and edit audio, and it is aimed across speech, music, and ambient sound in one system. Are we close to AI becoming an actual creative audio partner?
Closer than a lot of people think, but not all the way there. What's interesting about this class of model is that it treats audio more like a full creative medium, not just a voice output channel. That means branded sound design, localized ad versions, cleanup, musical texture, environmental layers, all inside one broader system.
So not just make the robot read my script, but help build the whole sonic world around it.
Right. And that matters for marketers more than people realize. Most brands still treat audio like an afterthought. Maybe there's a voiceover, maybe some stock music, done. But if these models mature, brands can develop reusable sonic systems, like intros, transitions, mood beds, localized accents, ambient identity, all without spinning up a giant production chain every time.
I love that, but here's my concern. We are one bad quarter away from the internet getting flooded with extremely polished and deeply empty audio, like perfect pacing, clean mix, zero soul.
That concern is very valid. The first experiments should not be replace the whole creative team. They should be assist the parts that are repetitive and slow. Clean up a rough podcast recording. Generate alternate ad reads for testing. Localize voice spots with review. Build sound palettes for campaign ideation. Use it where iteration matters more than raw originality.
Yes. Prototype first, publish second. Human taste still has to bully the output a little.
Human taste should absolutely bully the output.
Good. Because the danger with unified audio models is they make it too easy to sound finished. And finished is not the same as effective.
Very true. A polished bad idea is still a bad idea. Maybe a worse one, actually, because it gets approved faster.
Oof, that one hit.
Also, there's a practical workflow angle here. If you can transcribe calls with one model, synthesize voice variations with another, then use a unified audio system to edit and adapt the final asset, your content loop gets tighter. Sales, support, podcasting ads, social clips, all start sharing the same audio intelligence layer.
Which is why Microsoft's packaging story and Audio Omni's research story weirdly connect. One is the enterprise wrapper. The other is where the medium itself is headed.
Exactly.
All right, grown-up table time. Rights, provenance, royalties. The vibe online has clearly shifted from can AI make this to who owns this and who gets paid. Thank goodness, by the way.
Yeah, and it needs to shift faster. Because once generated content scales, rights infrastructure stops being optional. If your team is making synthetic voice ads, AI images, clone-style references, or derivative campaign assets, you need a trail. Where did this come from? What was it trained on? What rights do we have? Who approved it? Where can it be used?
This is where Story Protocol, CopySide AI, and tools like that get interesting. Not because they're glamorous, but because they're trying to build the receipts layer.
Exactly. The receipts layer is a good way to put it. Provenance, licensing logic, attribution, royalty handling, risk flags. That's the infrastructure serious teams are going to need.
Do you think brands will build that in early, though? Because my cynical answer is no. They will wait until a synthetic voice ad goes viral for all the wrong reasons, then suddenly everyone discovers governance.
That is usually how this goes. Most organizations do not install guardrails because they love discipline. They install guardrails because something caught fire.
Sad but true.
The better move is to attach rights management at the asset level from the beginning. Not in some separate legal spreadsheet no one opens. I mean directly in the workflow. This voice is licensed for these markets. This image was generated from approved references. This track can be modified but not redistributed. Those rules need to travel with the asset.
That's the key. If the asset metadata and the workflow aren't talking, you do not have governance. You have vibes.
Yes, and vibes are not admissible.
Incredible. Also, tiny aside, the internet remains completely unwell. We had that OMI for desktop demo floating around where a local AI tool supposedly listened in around a FaceTime call and flagged cheating before the guy noticed. I'm sorry, that is either horrifying or the beginning of a Black Mirror startup accelerator.
Probably both. And it's a useful reminder that local, privacy-first AI will be attractive to teams, but just because something runs on device does not automatically make it socially normal or operationally wise.
Thank you. Privacy first is not ethics last. Very different sentence.
Very different sentence.
And then you've got these infinitely explorable generated worlds getting demoed, plus Starbucks testing a beta app in ChatGPT for mood-based ordering. Which is, honestly, the most 2026 sentence ever.
It really is. But those stories fit the same pattern. AI is moving from standalone novelty into interfaces people already use. Desktop, chat, commerce, media stacks. That's when it stops being a toy and starts affecting operations.
Which brings us to the real question. If you're advising a company right now, what AI moves create real leverage and what moves just create decorative innovation?
Real leverage usually shows up in repeated workflows with measurable friction. Transcription pipelines, internal search, content versioning, localization, creative ops routing, audio cleanup, draft generation with approvals. Decorative innovation is the stuff that looks futuristic but doesn't reduce cycle time, risk, or cost.
So if your AI project can't answer what work gets easier, faster, or safer, it might just be a really expensive screensaver.
Pretty much. And I'd add one more thing. The best AI systems make humans more decisive, not more passive. If the team starts trusting output because it looks finished, that's dangerous. If the system helps the team review faster and create better options, that's leverage.
Human in the loop, but like actually in the loop, not asleep in the loop.
Exactly, Riles.
Aw, there it is. End of week earned it.
So the takeaway for me is simple. Microsoft is making multimodal creation easier to deploy inside enterprise workflows, with those MAI models currently in public preview rather than full GA. Unified audio models are pushing AI toward real creative partnership, not just robotic narration. And rights infrastructure is finally becoming part of the conversation where it belongs.
Which means the next phase is not who has the flashiest demo, it's who can build a workflow that is fast, flexible, compliant, and still leaves room for taste.
That's the game.
All right, thanks for hanging with us on this very poetic Friday, April 17th, otherwise known as Haiku Poetry Day.
Go write a haiku about model routing, or don't, but definitely check out koei.com/resources for AI news and updates.
And subscribe, please. Feed the algorithm, but like responsibly.
Thanks for listening.
Catch you next time.